Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
John Michael Vincent, JMV over on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Our producer was an intern, my understanding, for you, JMV. So I got to know, how was he as an intern? Was he still rocking the Joe Burrow? I guess it would have been Joe Burrow jerseys, but
Carson
Cincinnati,
Palmer.
Carson Palmer,
Andy
Hushman
Dalton.
Zada gear back then, too?
Yeah, he was. He was Mr. Bengals back in the day. I mean, he rolled in there with everything, you know, and doing the icky shuffle and all that stuff all the time, man. It would drive you insane. But he had moments with Joe Burrow, obviously, as you guys know, where things worked out. But no, seriously, he was really good, and it does not surprise me at all that he's surrounding himself with good people there in Kansas City, because he was really good. You could tell he was going to be good. You guys know this, right? You could tell when somebody's going to make it,
for
or maybe
sure.
When somebody's not. You absolutely knew that he was going to make it, make an impact, and continue to do it.
I thought you were going to make fun of him, and instead you turned into a genuinely nice moment.
I'm not going to make fun of him. Yeah, we'll wait a little bit, right? So we'll wait a minute. No, I want to. I just was always really proud of him because he always worked really hard. And yeah, sometimes that's hard to find in what we do today, but he does a great job at it for sure.
I think it's been, we had Jan maybe once before, and it was a much different spot for Indianapolis then than where the Colts sit. What is the feeling in Indianapolis right now, coming off of a bye week, seeing what is happening in the AFC right now and the Colts being right there at the top?
Well, a bit of a red flag yesterday, because I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Daniel Jones was limited in practice participation. And coming off a bye week, and especially the past two games in which he's been knocked around. They turned the football over six times, and you know, his ball security along with the protection by his offensive line in the past two Steelers and Falcons games have not been good. In fact, that has profoundly affected just how good this was. One of the higher level, if not the highest level offense leading up to that Pittsburgh game that we have seen around here in Colts history. Now, that goes back and predates Indianapolis, goes back to Baltimore, to where you have to find like Johnny Unitas numbers. That was even better, their beginning offensively, than that of any year in the Manning era. But it has tailed off in the past couple of weeks, fellas, and the past couple of games, I should say, in this case. And the reason being, the protection hasn't been the same. And Daniel Jones, the ball security with that protection not being there has been compromised. That has been problematic, certainly. And hopefully, in that bye week, they worked out a solution for that, because I know the Chiefs, they're not a team that this season really prolifically at all get after the quarterback. And Steve Spagnuolo is one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL, so I'd expect probably trying to dial up some things. But the red flag yesterday was the health of Daniel Jones. Now, everybody assures me that, you know, it's going to be okay, but I think you guys know this with quarterbacks here in Indianapolis, those are normally famous last words in the past like 15 or so years. So I'm not saying everybody's holding their breath, but I think everybody wants to get a glimpse of him at practice coming up here in just a little bit to make sure everything is going to be okay for Sunday.
When the offense was working, what was it and how were they attacking teams? Because what I'm trying to figure out is if they get back to that, how is Indianapolis taking advantage?
Well, think about it in this fashion. Okay, I'm going to go old school Kansas City on you guys, if you don't mind. Think about it like the 1985 Royals winning the World Series. They would come at you with a little bit of offense, and then they would bring in a closer, right? So you had a little bit of offense, you get George Brett going, and Brett Saberhagen had a great year. Offense would be humming, and then they'd bring in Dan Quisenberry, who would shut the door. So think about it in terms of the Colts. They'd come out there, they'd throw it around. Now, these were all designed, you know, nothing that was really out of rhythm. And I think that was the key word when they were really going, guys, was they had a definitive offensive rhythm that was not being denied. Wherever they went, whoever they played against, when you think about it, they gave away that Rams game in Southern California with some knuckleheadery from a wide receiver that's no longer here in A.D. Mitchell, or they would have won that game. So they were going at a clip in which we've never seen, and then they would close the door with Jonathan Taylor. So what I'm saying is, you know, they set up the game to win it by passing it and then setting up the guy I think is the MVP of the league so far in Jonathan Taylor, and then he would shut the door on things. And that's how things are going. But most recently, he rushed for 45 yards. They were really shut down against the Steelers. It was amazing. That was a one-score game at the end because they turned the ball over six times. And then if you saw in Berlin, going back a couple of weeks ago, I mean, they had to ride his shoulders. Now, Daniel Jones had a great third-down scramble to get them within striking distance on that final drive to tie it up. And they completed that fourth-down pass to Tyler Warren. But he had a great third-down, third-and-long scramble to put them in position. But it was all on the shoulders of Jonathan Taylor. So that's flipped. And I don't know, guys, on Sunday if maybe that script may maintain. Maybe they start out with Jonathan Taylor, try to run the football, and then set it up for a more comfortable, relatable pass play playbook that we saw starting the season that was always kind of the lead dog in this. But it clearly some things after the past two games are going to have to change offensively for the better.
We're talking to John Michael Vincent from 107.5 The Fan in Indy. Do you think the Colts are the best team in the AFC? And if not, who is it right now?
Here's what's funny about it. I think they are. And they haven't proven to me they're not. I don't know what you guys think. I think others around the AFC have proven that they're not. Maybe with the exception of Denver, but the Colts do have a win over Denver. And I'm not sidestepping at all Kansas City, because I think we all know how potent they can be if they get their groove back. And hopefully for Colts fans, it's not coming up there on Sunday. But, I mean, you look at Buffalo last night, they kind of knock around. You know, the toughest division in the NFL is the one in which the Chiefs are a part of, the AFC West. And, you know, you don't count on a lot there. You look at the Chargers, look good 1 week, look horrible the next. You know, Denver, you still question Bo Nix and that offense, I think, and their capabilities sometimes. And there's just really, you know, New England. I mean, are you really going to ride on, you know, Drake May and New England? Probably not. So there's not a really good feel. So I got to ask, you know, why not the Colts? I mean, the record, I think, shows that. I think they have proven that, but I think that's the rest of the world, and this is why this is going to be a major test for them on Sunday, because they don't care about the proving it to the rest of the world, the yip-yapping part, but they do care about it in terms of getting back on track. But there is a part of a proving ground for them in Kansas City. You know, do they really look like an 8-2 team against a really good team, even though that squad at 5-5's not been recently what it has in the past?
We've been saying all week that teams don't fear the Chiefs anymore. You know, some of the comments from Sean Payton, even at halftime of the Broncos game, saying, you know, they're more of a first half team, which that tells me, you know, teams aren't worried about them closing out games anymore. We all know the one score difference from a year ago. The Chiefs were 12-0 in one score games. They're 0-5 this year. Do you sense, whether it's from fans, certainly, and I'm sure not inside the Colts organization, but are people looking at the Chiefs though as still that big juggernaut? Are the Chiefs very vulnerable to you guys in Indianapolis?
Well, let me tell you guys, it's funny. Like, people probably would have that sense of vulnerability for the Chiefs because it doesn't look to them as it has in the past, but the Colts have said all the things you have to say. I mean, you still have one of the, if not the greatest of all time, under center. And, you know, this thing could pop back in place in a moment's notice. You just don't want it to happen against you. And, you know, and I think obviously a lot of the mistakes, at least when I have watched them, and not so much under the microscope like you guys will, but when I watch them, you know, Mahomes just doesn't look as comfortable doing what he has done in the past as of right now. But that doesn't mean he can't step into a phone booth and come back out and do it coming up on Sunday. So, I mean, the fans can say that around here. The team certainly is not saying that. They kind of view it as the same old Kansas City. I mean, you're going to go in their building coming up on Sunday. And, you know, really, if you want to break things down, you can't break down the fact that the Colts really haven't beaten or played a difficult schedule to this point as it ramps up coming up on Sunday. So they're not going to say this either, but there is a level of proof that the Colts have to show. And that starts, and really you got two teams trying to prove themselves, one trying to stay on course and the other trying to get back on course. Kind of an interesting dynamic, I think, at work at Arrowhead on Sunday.
What about on the defensive end? We talk a lot about the Colts offense. Where can, if the Chiefs can, take advantage of them defensively? We know they've got a lot of weapons, but the Chiefs have obviously not exactly been humming on offense. So where are the Colts weak?
Well, it's interesting, guys. Secondarily speaking, they went out and made a big deal. So this has been different. You had some time with Chris Ballard. I know they're in Kansas City. He's not always been the biggest fan of mine, but that's okay because it took like eight and a half years for this thing to get going finally. But he's changed philosophies, fellas. I mean, he had been a guy in the past. They know we're going to prove we're going to play and, you know, build this thing. And but it's in the moment now. And you can see that with how they address free agency. It was about the secondary. They got a former chief in Charvarius Ward. They brought in Cam Bynum from the Vikings at safety. And then they make that massive deal prior to the end of the trade deadline a month ago, or earlier this month, I should say, for Sauce Gardner. I think for the first time this season, for the first time ever, for that matter, you're going to see that secondary with everybody healthy and back there. It looks like Ward is going to be able to play. You get Gardner, you have Kenny Moore, you have Nick Cross, and you have Cam Bynum. That, at least name recognition-wise, looks like it could be one of the better secondaries in the league. And I don't know how you guys feel with Kansas City and the lack of work they do up front to put consistent pressure on the quarterback. The hope is here that with that group in the secondary, that will help out guys like Leiatu, Latu, and help them survive the time without DeForest Buckner, which is a major missing piece for this defense all the way up until December the 14th now on IR. It'll help out that front, maybe put more pressure on a quarterback where that has not been consistent nor prevalent here so far this season. But I think we're all going to see that secondary. You guys, for the first time, just like we are, that may be kind of off the radar, but that should be, I think, a top-of-the-list thing that makes this matchup as interesting as anything else coming up this weekend.
Before we let you go, I got to ask at least about the owner and what from afar has been really interesting and how much does it get discussed in Indianapolis with Carly Ursay Gordon. Of course, she's visibly there on the, you know, on the sidelines and she's wearing the headset. And is it something where do fans love that? You know, they're winning. So I understand that's probably part of it, but is it one of those where if all of a sudden the team wasn't winning, people would say, what the hell's the owner doing down there?
Fellas, it's the reason why they're winning, right? It's like, for example, you guys would roll in there and in like jock straps and nothing else on if you guys dominated like you do the Kansas City. You probably are right now dominating the Kansas City market in what you do in your time slot. You know, it kind of goes back to you kind of are who you are, or in Bull Durham, you know, you are, you know, what you are. If you have, you know, fungus on your shower shoes, that's the reason why you're winning. But if you're not winning, it's meaning you're a slob. So, yeah, Jim Irsay, to me, the late Jim Irsay, people ask me this all the time, guys. Do you think he would have, you know, decided to green light the Sauce Gardner deal or allowed the money to be spent and really focus in on this season if he were still there as he was before he passed away back in May? And without question, he would. He always wanted a winner. But I'll say this, Carly Ursay Gordon has been fantastic with how she has dealt with everything. And you just kind of, even though you're watching and keeping track of your, because your ownership, your product, you're letting the people you hire do their jobs. You're not micromanaging. She may be taking notes, but she's trying to learn this on the fly. So there's no micromanagement there. So I think that certainly makes everybody comfortable. But when you get down to it, it's all about winning. And if you're winning, no matter what you're doing, fellas, you're doing it right. And until further notice, that's how you continue to do it.
Do the Colts win on Sunday?
I picked them to lose on Sunday. And Cam Bynum is not happy with me because he was on yesterday. So I am not. No, I in terms of the number, I think they cover it. I just think it's one of these games, you know, these tight games. You mentioned the one-score games and the success the Chiefs normally have had in recent memory that they haven't been having or didn't have, I guess, last week. But I think that changes coming up on Sunday, and I think that the Colts are going to have some questions to answer, and you get a Texans team that's all of a sudden, you know, have new life, you know, decided to be pumped into them by virtue of that win last night of that defense. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a one-score game, actually a one-point game, and I think Kansas City ends up winning the home field, and I think Mahomes is going to have the opportunity to be some old-school Mahomes force coming up on Sunday. So Colts fans are going to be mad at me too for that assessment, but that's just what my belief is.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, and glad you got the shower in before you hopped on the show as well.
Hey, I got to be clean, fresh and clean. I got a remote today, man. Are you guys allowed to go out and do remotes and drink beers and stuff for 3 hours?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, people should beg to have our gig, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it's
hey, what are you doing all day? Oh, I'm talking sports and drinking beers and then going home.
We make cocktails every Friday at 1 on this show. We're
let me
not
tell you this. Yes, and then Ubering
that's right.
home, let me say that, because we're all play the level of responsibility. But, guys, man, great talking to you. Call me anytime. Shout out to Dean Nixon over there. Tell him to take it easy on the Bengals gear, okay? Especially
right.
if Burrow returns, right? Take it easy on it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.